Joining us now on Front and Center is Suzanne Bates. She is Director of Policy and Legislative Outreach for Yankee Institute. And Suzanne, as always, welcome to Front and Center.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you had put together an interesting report, and it is about Connecticut can work more jobs for a brighter future. How about giving us an overview on that?
Sure. We wanted to take a look at, you know, we've had very slow job growth in Connecticut for a number of years. And in fact, we found that over the past 26 years, we've had the slowest job growth in the nation as a percentage basis. And so, you know, that was concerning to us. We, if we want to grow our state and keep our kids here, I think it's important to have good jobs here as well. So we wanted to sort of take a look at what is it that's slowing our job growth down, and how can we help it? How can we speed it back up again?
So what are some of the areas that are slowing job growth in Connecticut?
Well, it was interesting. I went to, and before I started writing this report, I went and spoke to a number of small and large business owners and business leaders and asked them, you know, what's keeping you from adding jobs here in the state or keeping your business here in the state? And there were a number of things that the state is doing in terms of the regulatory burden that it places on businesses that is really clogging our economy, and it's slowing that job growth. So we propose a number of solutions to that. We also think that the state puts a lot of burdens on small business owners and people who are trying to start a business. So we suggest some reforms as well that we think will help speed that back up.
Now, let's look at overall regulations. What did you hear from businesses as far as regulations that really make it onerous for conducting business in Connecticut?
Well, I'll tell you, I spoke to one small business owner who was actually in the process of moving his business from Connecticut to South Carolina. You know, and I asked him, what was it that pushed you out? You know, because really we want to keep people here. And what he said was he just felt like there was almost hostility toward business owners by a lot of the regulators that he dealt with. You know, his unemployment insurance costs were much higher than they would be in other states. His workers' compensation costs, for example, a lot of the permitting that they have to go through is very different and much more onerous here in the state. So he just felt like that at every step of the way, the state was standing in his way. You know, and then he had tax hikes alongside all of that. So I think, you know, there was just so much frustration, and it finally pushed him out, which we want to stop from happening.
Now, you write about the state's approach of a top-down policy choices to promote job growth. How about elaborating on that?
Yeah, I think we saw that this week with Sikorsky. You know, the governor has this First Five program, which he's extended to more than five companies, where, you know, they're taking this approach of trying to encourage businesses to move here or to stay here. Really, they ended up giving a lot of subsidies out to businesses who are already in Connecticut to keep them from leaving. And while you see other states kind of bribing businesses in, most states do not have to bribe their businesses to stay. So I think that, you know, this approach is not working, and it ends up picking winners and losers, instead of encouraging, you know, business growth for everybody. I mean, I feel some sympathy for Sikorsky. I understand they're in a tough position because of the economic climate in this state. But, you know, this is not how things should be working here in Connecticut.
You know, Suzanne, you just made a great statement. You made a lot of great statements, but one that really resonates, because we hear a lot from Connecticut officials that the competition is fierce among states, and so every state is offering some kind of tax incentive package, et cetera. But what you said, even though just about every state is doing this, most states are not offering incentives to keep the businesses once they locate in that state, right?
That's right. Usually it's to bring new businesses in, to try to entice them to move into their state. But most are not having to hand out these packages to existing businesses. That's something that's pretty unique to Connecticut and some other high-tax states. So, you know, that's not a good status quo. We should be, you know, be encouraging business to grow and move into the state without having to give out these huge incentive packages.
Talking with Suzanne Bates, Director of Policy and Legislative Outreach for Yankee Institute here on Front and Center. I'm Dan Lovato. Now, you talked before, Suzanne, about regulations and the regulatory burden. Now, obviously, we have to have some regulations. So how could we, as you write, right-size regulations?
That's right. I mean, you end up having some regulations in your state. I mean, you want to protect your workers. You want to protect consumers. But I heard someone once liken it to like a bulletproof vest. You know, so a police officer, if he wears one bulletproof vest, that's going to protect him. But if he tries to pile six or seven on, you know, it's just going to slow him down. He's not going to be able to do his job. Well, that's true with regulations as well. You know, when you have the right amount of regulations, your economy is flowing and chugging along. But when you have too many, it really just clogs it up and slows it down. And I mean, look around, right? I think we can see that that is what is happening here in Connecticut. So I just think we need to take this very over, you know, look over every regulation we have and say, is it too onerous? I know Massachusetts is actually going through this process right now, and they're saying that they're going to reduce regulations so that they're not more onerous than what the federal government expects. I think a similar thing here in Connecticut would make a lot of sense.
Now, you in this report looks at Connecticut as the glass being half full, so to speak, because you state that the state has many of the fundamentals that are necessary to create, in the words of your report, a vibrant economy. So how about talking about that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, we have an educated workforce. We have an excellent location. We have a beautiful environment. We have places, we have great universities. We have cities and towns that are beautiful that people want to live in. But we've just made it so difficult. So, you know, how can the state government streamline what it does so that it is helping to promote those good things instead of, you know, holding us back in a lot of ways?
It's interesting because as this report was being released, we received another report that puts Hartford as one of the cities in the so-called knowledge corridor. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, we have an excellent history here of, you know, an insurance industry being the insurance capital of the world. We've been able to attract hedge funds into Stamford. You know, we have some great historic value that we can build on. But I think what we're seeing instead is that is being threatened right now by the way the state does business. And, you know, my concern is that instead of you know, building on these strengths that we have, that we'll see them start to crumble as we continue to make these poor decisions.
What are we to make, Suzanne, of this report released by UConn that Connecticut students at the University of Connecticut who have graduated, I guess in the most recent class, 74% have stayed in Connecticut?
I think that's great news. Unfortunately, one of the things that we looked into is we looked into the unemployment rate for various demographics. And in fact, we have the second highest unemployment rate for people who are 25 to 34 years old, so that's sort of just out of college age group and a little older. We were the second highest unemployed group in the nation. Only Alabama was worse. And so that means that we're not going to have jobs for those students, even if they want to stay. And of course, we want them to stay and find jobs here. So we need to encourage and promote job growth in this state if to keep our kids here.
Let's take a look, because you write in the report, one of the ways we can improve the climate, streamline occupational licensing laws, reduce barriers for independent contractors, review requirements for professional licensing, and extend the opportunity wage, entry-level pay, below the state minimum wage for employees under 21 years. Give us an overview on all of what I just said.
Sure. We, you know, one of the things we looked at was occupational licensing, and these are for jobs, you know, for example, you know, do we need to license interior designers? Is there a public good in licensing an interior designer? We have a lot of regulations that we put on some of these jobs, and it means that, for example, you know, a glazier, someone who works with glass, it takes them 7 years to be fully licensed. I mean, do we really need, you know, the time and the money it takes to invest in 7 years of education and training is enormous. And so it stops people from getting involved in those occupations. So I think, you know, Connecticut licenses a lot of occupations. And I think we need to look at, are we doing it because there's a public good associated with that license? Or can we reduce the burden so that it's easier for people to enter those jobs? And then another, I mean, the independent contractor, we released a video recently. The state went after little leagues and soccer clubs for work, you know, so people will hire an independent contractor, someone who's not a full-time employee, and work with that independent contractor. Well, the state came into these soccer clubs and little leagues and said, you know, that's your employee, not an independent contractor, which is, of course, not true. But the state has created this very high threshold, which makes it just more expensive, and it's just slowing the economy down. We see new companies like Uber who work a lot with independent contractors, and it's, you know, kind of the new thinking in the world economy. And if Connecticut puts up barriers to that, I think we're going to see it make it more difficult to create jobs in new emerging markets.
I know one of the things that you recommend in order to grow the state's economy is to focus the sharing economy. You write about technological innovation. You encourage non-traditional businesses to compete in Connecticut if that approach is taken. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, there really is so much growth going on right now. And I think, you know, we look at, is Connecticut open to innovation? Is it a place that's friendly for entrepreneurs, for young, you know, people, not even just young people, for anyone who has a business idea and wants to grow a business and jobs in our state? And we have very low numbers of people who are starting businesses in the state. And I think it's because we make it very difficult. And, you know, the independent contractor law is one example of that. But there's just very high startup costs here in the state because of the way our property taxes are structured, because of some of these labor costs, the unemployment insurance, the workers' compensation costs. Because they're so much higher than in other states, a growing business, a young business, that's going to be a very difficult hurdle for them to overcome.
I want to focus on three more areas, and the entire report can be downloaded by going to yankeeinstitute.org. But you write about the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities should be reformed. How come?
You know, they had a hearing on that the other day, and the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities is meant to be the state level of what exists at the federal level of the Equal Employment Opportunity Office. And while at the federal level, they do a lot to sort of streamline and make sure that cases that are being filed are not frivolous, at the state level, there's very little of that happening. And so it means business owners or property owners are being dragged into these hearings, and to the point where they're not even, you know, showing up at the hearings anymore. They've kind of given up a little bit. And it's become very burdensome for them. So we need a process that streamlines that, both for the business owners and then also for, you know, there are people who have legitimate claims that take years to go through this system. And that's not right. You know, we should have a system that's working for both parties, for the complainant and for the business owner. So it's not working right now. We need to make it better.
You also suggest that the state should be eliminating these punitive fines. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I spoke to one business owner who said, you know, he sat across the table from, he had two regulators show up the same day at his business, a state regulator and a federal regulator, and they gave him conflicting answers when he asked about, you know, they were going through he had a small manufacturing firm, and they were going through and citing him for various things and had conflicting answers as to what he should be doing. And yet at the same time, they were handing him fines. You know, I think a lot of these things, unless they're egregious, it should be more of a, let's encourage compliance with the regulations and let's make them easy enough so that even the regulators can understand them, and give business owners an opportunity to comply with the regulations before we come in and levy these punitive fines.
And what about exempting the first $10,000 of personal property from the property tax for all businesses?
You know, that gets at those young and new businesses. I really think, you know, again, I heard from a lot of people that property taxes for small businesses were just enormous, both the cost of paying them and also the cost of maintaining and understanding what it is you are paying your taxes on. So I think that this would do a lot to encourage job growth and especially young businesses to start here in Connecticut.
Suzanne, anything else you'd like to add?
You know, I just want to say, you know, this is a hopeful project for us. We think there are a lot of great things going on in this state. There are so many good people here who are working hard. We just want things to improve. We don't want to be last in all of these studies, you know, and in job growth. So I think that, this is our opportunity to say, what can we do better? And so we're hoping that people will take it and follow through on some of these items.
Suzanne Bates, Director of Policy and Legislative Outreach for Yankee Institute. Suzanne, as always, thank you for joining us on Front and Center.
Thank you so much, Dan, for having me.